A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by... Who were we joined by? It's a very good question. Stan Collymore.
It's all, never forget
it's a bit
it.
Of a blur. No, Stan was on good form. We had a bit of a VAR rant. I mean, you know, so easy to do that at the moment. But Stan had an interesting take on it. So we brought you that. Martin Kellner. Joined us. He looked at a bit of sport on TV, including the big Louis Theroux, Anthony Joshua interview this week. We had a chat. The listeners got involved.
Yeah.
Gave us a call. And we had some emails.
French cricketers.
Yeah, some good French cricketers. Thank you for all of those. And I think that should do you, really.
Definitely.
So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, Paul. And before we go on to VAR and some idea, thoughts I've had and your ideas, I love it when people bring things back to sport. And this is the story about David Beckham. I don't know if you saw this morning, he signed a big money deal to advertise Nespresso.
Yeah.
And it said here, he joins Hollywood actor George Clooney, 62, on Nespresso's books.
Oh, yeah.
that's a real football expression.
Do you think they have books?
I don't think they have books at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says he's always loved Nespresso coffee. Of course you have.
I was just wondering whether the ideal player they should Nespresso should have brought in was the old Bradford fullback Cess Pod. Shouldn't they be signing him up? Should they get him on his books?
Well, I'm not sure they could, but there we go.
Yeah, and is Cess still with us? I think he is.
Is he? Oh, well, I hope
so. Yeah, he's very much still with us.
Oh, good.
Cess.
Well,
yeah,
sign him
news.
Up then.
Good old news.
And I was looking through the list of names that were admitted as fellows of the Royal Society of Chemistry. I thought you'd be interested in this. And one of them is a chap called Neil Mankad. Congratulations to him. I don't know if he deliberately smashed someone else's test tube when they weren't looking.
That's very good. Not really in the spirit of chemistry, is it?
No, really?
Very poor. So anyway, as I said, Talk Sport Heartland. Sometimes we put out a little cool subject, cool topic, and emails, texts, and tweets that I feel is very much Talk Sport Heartland. Not that I'm making value judgments about you, the listener, but I'm thinking quite a lot of you based on what we receive from you have done a little bit of this before. It comes from Strictly Come Dancing and a story today suggesting that audience members smuggle booze into the studio in water bottles to get them through what is a punishing record.
It is.
It's like a Scorsese film, an uncut... It's like a director's cut Scorsese movie,
but a few years ago, Sue and her friend went, and it's such a long... She loved it, but it's such a long evening.
You can't go to the toilet.
No, you can't go to the toilet.
I mean, looking at the average age of quite a lot of the audience members, I can only imagine.
She said to me last night...
They must have to send the cleaning team in afterwards, don't they?
They probably do, actually.
Because you said it's about... apparently you get a break between the proper show finishing and the Sunday night show being recorded.
Yeah, I think that's
true. If I've spoilt that for you. They don't all come back on Sunday for 45 minutes.
They've got to go off and get changed and everything. Yeah, so you probably are allowed out there.
Imagine that. Imagine the queues, though.
But she absolutely loved it. She said
people
to me last night...
in the street.
Can you? Because she knows I know Anton Dubek's agent. So she says,
"Hello, love.
Well, you know,
I'm a big friend of Anton's agent.
No, I'm not a big friend.
I can make things happen for you. Yeah. Stick with me. I know Anton's agent. Great.
She got me the tickets last time.
Yeah.
So she says to me, I said, look, no, I, She said, then you come. I'm sure you'd really love it. Because I've been watching. I said to her, I don't think
you
so.
Can't,
not really.
You can't. And then, honestly, and you can't out, go that long without finding a toilet.
That's a
very good reason. You panic, wouldn't
and
you?
And I also worked out why I couldn't go.
Yeah.
It's because I've got this sort of reflex thing when Tess Daly does her thing, when she's sort of...
When they go back to her.
They go back
to her
and she goes, ah, and I can't stop doing it. So I'd be in the crowd. Tess would be going, ah, and you'd hear me in the crowd going, ah, so I'd get thrown
like
out.
Like the mating call of something from Planet Earth 3. Sounds great.
Tremendous.
It's a bit silly, isn't it? That sounds
it
a bit silly.
It is a bit silly.
But you reckon you've stopped her doing it because reason? It was
no,
that,
no, she's gone back
I'd
to
not notice
it.
It, but it was the point where the dancers come across after they've danced before the judges say their thing. And she goes...
It's because... There's a lot of applause and, and they're live and she's trying to get them to come over so there isn't too much gap.
And that manifests itself in what?
Ah! Well done. Ah! But it's basically a noise.
Did she do any rugby league commentary?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
One listener recognised it as well, but no one else has seen it.
A little bit of news in on the Tottenham front. As expected, in light of some of the stories this morning, Ange Postecoglou is chatting to the press. We'll bring you some of that a little bit later on. We'll chat to Stan about injuries and the kind of mood in the camp when senior players get injuries, not just happening at Spurs, happening at lots of clubs. Newcastle, pretty decimated at the moment. Your club probably is too. But, yeah, confirmation by Ange Postecoglou that Mickey van der Ven, that hamstring injury, will keep him out of action until the new year. James Maddison also won't be back until 2024.
It doesn't do you, and we've seen with Reece James, when you get a bad hamstring and you're a quick player, it takes you quite a long time to trust your body again. So it's a blow there.
Postecoglou says Mickey has a significant hamstring injury. Without putting a firm timeline on it, they say could be a couple of months. Similar with Madders, he says, got quite a significant ankle injury the other night and was sent for scans. That wasn't great, so he'll be out for a period of time, probably into the new year for him as well. Richarlison has had surgery, says Postecoglou. He's battled through pretty much for the whole season, but they think about 4 weeks for him.
So, it's a lot of blows. So, a big opportunity for Brennan Johnson anyway.
Yeah, Ben Davis is back tomorrow, so he could be in the mix.
I noticed the other night that Copenhagen, in that very interesting game actually, they had a defender called Bavro.
Yeah.
And I just had the thought, it'd be great if his first name was Dobby. Dobby Bavro.
Is that how you watch football, Andy?
Yeah.
Surely you
that's
should
my note.
Yeah, just from a whole game of football.
No, I have a lot more from that game.
Dobby
than that.
Bavro. Well, there's the title of today's podcast, anyway. So we're interested about these things that you have smuggled booze into. Don't get on your high horse and say, oh, that's a bit much. What do you take me for? You know you've done it practically more than once. So where was it and in what? I bet somewhere out there, though, in the TalkSport heartland, there's a nativity. There's a kid's nativity play. Someone's taken a hip flask to the Christmas concert.
I smuggled a hip flask into the hotel at Cheltenham this year because I had a particularly nice bottle of whiskey at home.
Right.
So I'd order one single from them and then I'd top myself up with a nice one.
Oh, and you kept it in your handbag, did you?
Very stingy there, really. I don't know why I've just admitted that.
That's great, isn't it? Okay, fantastic. So what did you smuggle booze into, a la Strictly Come Dancing? So, yes, where's this come? Simon in Ipswich says, does Anton's agent know a striker for Chelsea, Andy? She probably does,
she
actually.
Probably
yeah,
does,
she's
yeah.
in football
she
as well.
She knows a lot about football.
Yeah, she does. So, what else we got for you? So, yeah, let us know. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. 03717-223-344. You may be quite embarrassed and ashamed about it now, but just get it out there in the open. You might feel a bit better. Where did you smuggle booze into?
Are we doing French cricketers?
We are. Oh, yeah, this is because there's been a story in the world of French cricket. We may be chatting about it at some point, but it seems that this is not the world of French cricket, the one without stumps. This is the France cricket, if you like. There's an accusation that they made up games of women's football to get funding from the ICC. Games that were not played. I don't quite know. This is an allegation. So Andy immediately said, come on, it's Friday. Let's have your French cricketers.
Yes.
Those ones that will basically turn Ali McCoist into jelly. We want ones as good as that if you can come.
Exactly.
Andy came up with Nasser Hussein, which is the same name unless you see it written down.
Exactly.
And Seine is the river Seine.
Nathan
so
Lyon.
Nathan Lyon, that's not bad.
Mitch Marché.
Yeah, the other one doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
I came up with Harold Ulalawood.
That's good.
Ian Ross Beefy Botham. And
the producer went with Dijon Arla, which I thought Dijon was particularly Arla. Good. I went with PSG Grace.
PSG Grace, kind of works. Anyway, we're after some. It's Friday, so you can bring in games. French cricketers, along with, as we said, things you smuggle booze into. Disgraceful. Plus, what else are we looking for? Oh, yeah, this was a letter to the Telegraph today. Where's it gone? It's from Peter Boxall in Haddenham in Bucks. Peter says, the ongoing debate as to whether to scrap VAR has got it all wrong. Technology is the way forward. What is needed is the scrapping of on-field referees. I mean, what do they do? Pick up the match ball from a plinth. A robot could do that. Blow their whistle to start and end each half. A klaxon could do that. Various sounds could be used to alert the players of an infringement. Even a device could deflate the ball remotely when play needs to be stopped. He then says, OK, a few things need to be ironed out. But in principle, I think it's a goer. So I think you've got a point. We've reached. I mean, ultimately, David Ellery and Pierluigi Collina, their egos are so massive, they would love to be the only referees left on Earth. So let's try and do away with referees this afternoon. If you've got any other theories, and we can add those to Peter Boxall's, then feel free. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J, 03717 22334. Let Stockley Park run it. We don't need referees.
Yeah,
Paul thinking... Rifle Tower, beautiful Bob in Arbroath.
That's very good.
That's very good, Bob. Thank you. You've kicked us off. Well, all right, then. Do your worst.
That's excellent.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Cairns Williamson says Gaz, the Leeds fan. Alvin Calais Charant says Lee in Manchester. That's pretty good.
That's quite good, yeah.
Moen Ali Cart says Craig the Gooner.
That's rubbish.
Brett Bree, Rich the Villa fan. Mitchell Stark de Triomphe.
That's good.
You like that? Alan Bordeaux, Monte Carlo Panasar, says Kevin Liverpool.
Alan Bordeaux. Was
Viv Rickard, says Hugh. What else? Bruce French. Oh, he had to. Yes, Ranger Ian. Well done. Graham Gauche. Michael Carberry.
Very nice.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, that's from nice, Timmy. Yeah. Phil French Mustard. There we are. Thank you, Ralph. Claude Monet Panasar. Not so sure, Dan. Thank you, though.
Monet Panasar.
Beret Richard. Beret Richard, says Graham in Worthing. Nearly there. The great Sane Warne, Chris in Kent. Dunkirkley Ambrose is quite good. Graham Onions, of course. Peugeot Root, Phil in Liverpool. We're getting there. And look, that'll do for now. Keep them coming, though. We've got some very good ones.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. You've been telling us a few tales. There's a story today saying that apparently some people who go into the Strictly Come Dancing audience, knowing they're in for a long haul, because it's a long record, apparently, they've been smuggling booze in water bottles to fortify them throughout it. So being a very much a Talk Sport heartland subject, we thought we would ask you those things you've smuggled booze into. I once smuggled a rucksack full of cans of lager into the open at Royal Birkdale. To avoid the bag search, we emptied out tubes of Pringles and hid two cans inside each one. Oh, top tips for you today,
really
Talk Sport
elaborate.
Listeners. They fit perfectly in our Tingles, has now become legendary, says Andy in Rochdale. Andy, that's what good. About that? If you come away with nothing else from this show today, you've certainly come away with that. This is a cosmic one from Neil in Liverpool. Went to a country-themed wedding as Japan. Everyone else was in gingham. Smuggled a box of wine and a Pikachu doll.
Why would you have to smuggle a box of wine to a party?
Well, I
don't
really
drink
that. I don't know. Maybe it was temperance.
Maybe
it was temperance. I don't know. John is a Manchester United fan. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, boys. Are you well?
Yeah, we're not so bad, John. Yeah, so what's your story along these lines?
It's like a reverse one, to be honest. My mum, bless her, she's gone now. She died. She used to work at one of the major hotels in Manchester. What used to happen, she used to do all the big do's, the Anglo-American boxing club nights and all the do's and the Irish abroad and all the big parties going on. And she'd be waiting on there doing them all. People obviously were getting a bit leery-eyed and stuff like that. And they'd order a bottle of wine, maybe take a glass of it out or even half a glass, can't drink it. Then they'd go home leaving it. She'd just recork it and bring it home.
Beautiful.
And you were talking... We sat down, and a friend who was a bank manager, and he would be coming around. We were having a meal, and we worked out that we had about 235 quid worth of booze.
Nice.
It cost us nothing.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. But Andy, she used to do the same as you did. She used to go to a party, family parties, whatever, and take a bottle of vodka with her. Bless her.
Yeah, that's why I was a bit shocked to hear Andy took one in his handbag to Cheltenham this year. He kept that one quiet.
Yeah,
I just went back. Then the bank manager comes round. You've got 235 quid's worth of wine back in the day. And if you ask him for a loan, he's going to say, well, it doesn't look like you need one.
We were trying to get him drunk so we could get one.
Who's the bank manager around for dinner? Do they That's do that? Not,
well, they used to in the old days. They certainly used to in things like Terry and June.
Not now they don't.
How are you feeling, John, about Manchester United, about Ratcliffe coming in? You excited about the prospect of that?
I'm not. Do you know, I've just been talking to a customer and I've just said to him, do you know, when I was in the ground when Dennis Law did that back heel and they went down, and for about a week I was gutted, to be honest. But I feel so despondent at the moment with this. I can't get my head around it. And the people now who were storming out when Newcastle went 2-0 up the other night, they were going, these people have never seen bad times. And that's the problem, I think.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, but I think it's a second season syndrome with him.
Yeah.
You know, when he gets some of the dead wood out, still, we've still got something to get shut off. Things might look round. I mean, one or two things I can't believe he bought, like Mount.
Yeah.
What the hell he bought him for, God only knows.
It's strange, Andy, because you saw a lot of Mount, and there's been times I've been really impressed. I mean, you think they're playing him in the wrong place, Andy?
I think they're playing him in the wrong position, but I also think he's not the same player. I don't know what's happened to him. He was brilliant at Chelsea, but he's not the last
season.
He wasn't
the same.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He wasn't the same back in the Chelsea, was he?
No.
One of the reasons they let him go, I guess. Mm. Yeah. Well, look, apparently he's going to have a bit of an overhaul, Jim Ratcliffe, so keep your fingers crossed. Cheers, John. Thanks for your call. Have a good weekend. All the best.
Bye. Nice weekend.
Take care. There's John, the Manchester United fan there. 03717-223-344. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. I got invited to a wedding years ago at a very expensive venue, so I borrowed my granddad's hip flask and a bottle of whiskey. He didn't get the whiskey back, he said, and we just bought a glass of Coke all night and I put my own shot in. That's what's called now an Andy Jacobs thing in Shrewsbury.
Yeah,
Andy,
it is.
He kept that quiet.
I did. I shouldn't have admitted that.
French cricketers. This is the world of French cricket, where apparently in France they were coming up with non-cricketing fixtures to get funding for women's cricket in France out the ICC. These are the allegations. I can't stand them up or not, but this is what's been alleged over in France. And we were looking for some French cricketers. Quinton de Coquevin, says Ollie, the Leicester fan. Bobbin R. Brothy's back. He says, I'll stop now, but before I do, David Moulin Rouge. Oh, come on, he's on form today. You've got to give him that. I know he's a busy man over the weekend, but he's coming out for us today.
Do you want a bit of political satire?
I'll give you one more of these, because you'll like this. Tony Boulangerie, and you're thinking, what's that? And he said, well, instead of Tony Greggs. Well done. Well done, Warren from Bolton. I know it was, but he said he was stretching it.
No, it's good, though. It's fair enough, really.
So a bit of what, Andy?
Political satire.
Yeah.
Did you see Dominic Cummings posted a picture of himself after an emergency eye operation on
Wednesday. Make it up, could you?
No, I think perhaps he could test it out with a drive to Barnard Castle.
Yes, which good. You're probably not the first person to say
probably
that.
Probably not, but I thought I'd get it in before.
Have I got time to say Angus Fromage Frazier?
You have.
I've just said it, and he didn't put their name on that, which is daft. Go on, keep those
that
coming.
That story about people going to Abbey Road Station in East London rather than Abbey Road, Beatles fans. Did you see that story?
They did what, sorry, I missed it? They did what?
Basically, people, baffled Beatles fans, need a little help to find the band's famous Abbey Road zebra crossing.
Yeah.
Many are buying a ticket to ride, 10 miles out of their way. Blah, blah, blah. Hundreds of day trippers hoping to recreate the image in selfies have been turning up at Abbey Road DLR station in Newham. How many had
that? And saying, where's the crossing?
But I love this quote. Yesterday, one frustrated fan reckoned, I thought it was strange the studio was this far out of London, but I saw the stop and assumed it was the right place. I've come here with my family, but now we have to make another journey to the right stop. It didn't happen.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. We're going to get the thoughts of Stan Collymore. We're going to look at all the games in the Premier League this weekend and get his predictions for them. Three of them will be in the Falls panel. Just a reminder, if you want to take part, represent the TalkSport listeners, take on the commentator, Nigel Adley, Stan and us, to win some points for the TalkSport fan base. The panel beaters, Wolves versus Spurs, Arsenal Burnley, Chelsea versus Manchester City. 03717223344. That's 03717223344. Call us now. We'll get back to you at around 2:45 and you can give us your considered opinion on those matches. I'll say we'll look at all the others and Stan will give us a scoreline and look at some other talking points of the day. But before all of that, we're going to have a chat with Jeff, who I think is a Hearts fan. He joins us now. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon.
We've been telling the listeners that apparently people have been smuggling booze into Strictly Come Dancing because it's a long old night and water wasn't sustaining them. So you've got a story along those lines.
Sort of threefold story, yes. First of all, 1998 at the Ocean Colour Scene concert at Stirling Castle. We went in with the local landlord as a sort of group, and she brought out oranges that had been injected with vodka.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that before. Yeah, it's
very ingenious.
Very devious.
Okay.
Absolutely. The second part of it is, and I can't give you too much detail because we still do this.
Oh, okay.
Some of the band, I've got access to colostomy bags.
And you put
spirits into colostomy bags and sneak them into competitions in which we compete in.
Okay, that's I mean that's
I'm
an
not
optic
sure about that
that's
one.
An optic alternative and a half, isn't it? Really,
yeah. Wow. You wouldn't want to take the blue balls in, that's for sure.
Yes, and finally, what's the other one of the three?
In a spare drum that we have, we can conceal 8 to 8 cans of lager.
Wow.
So when, carry.
So when they see the drummer, think, blimey, that bass drum, what's it made out of, lead?
Tinny sound.
No, that's a different one, those two.
Fantastic. Nice one, Jeff. All the best. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much. There we are. There's Jeff, the Hearts fan there. That's a bit dark, wasn't it, the middle one?
Slightly,
keep it light, Jeff.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Where better to go than Penzance for a smuggling story? Nick, the Plymouth fan. My wife and I smuggled gin and tonics into our daughter's nativity, which was held in the local church. We smuggled them in our keep warm coffee flasks. I suppose if it's, you know, if it's got a bit of coffee, if you've livened up a coffee, that's just about, I mean, a nativity. Blimey. So the other parents just thought we were on the coffee. Nick, that's shameful, mate, but I did expect one of those. So definitely keep those coming.
And now, Ali Ross has a very funny column, part of his column on the in his TV page in The Sun on Fridays. And he has a section called Unexpected Morons in the Bagging Area. It's basically daft questions on quizzes, or not daft, but daft answers to questions on quizzes. And he has a sort of standard that he tests it by. Basically, if I can get the question, then it's good enough.
Right.
But there's one in here, I just don't get it. It says The Chase, Bradley Walsh.
Yes.
The Yorkshire town of Beverley is named after what amphibious rodents? And Ryan says toads. But what's the answer? I didn't get it. I said they're going, sorry, I don't know what the answer is either.
I've got, don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
No,
maybe I'm one of those morons in the bagging area. I mean, the listeners will know. Maybe it's staring us in the face.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time to look ahead to the Premier League weekend and more in the company of former Liverpool Forest Aston Villa striker Stan Collymore. Good afternoon, Stan.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Yeah, we're not too bad, Stan. Andy has a theory on the world of VAR.
I wanted to make a serious point about VAR.
Go on, give us the theory, Andy. No,
I've got to take this lot off.
Andy has found an Einstein wig in the office and some fake glasses been wearing for the YouTube audience. But he can't make a serious point.
Yes. No, I mean, there's been so much stuff. I wanted to run this past you, Stan. There's so much stuff about VAR, and it's becoming detrimental to our sport. There's no question about that. And I was thinking, everybody says, oh, it'll never end. They're too in love with it. It's too much invested in it. But for me, I can only see one way this ends, and that is if the popularity of sport, the sport on TV drops. You know, that's the only thing they'll care about, the money, the bottom line, less eyes on the game. Because really, I think it's ruining the sport. It's just not so. I heard of a young person saying, I'm not watching telly anymore. I'm not watching football on telly anymore. There's no point. You know,
yeah, so. I mean, I remember Adrian Durham saying 7 or 8 years ago that he thought it was a bad idea. And I was one of the ones who's going, come on, Age, stop being a curmudgeon. You get 99.3% of decisions right instead of the current 98.9. And we all, I guess the people that were for VAR, on the back of things like, matter of fact, ball crosses the line, we're in Rustenburg, we're doing comms, England against Germany, Lampard, the ball blatantly goes up. And then it was on the back of that. So the debate really started to push forward. Then I think it was the MLS, and I think that the Dutch league sort of trialed it for a season, and the anecdotal evidence was very good. I remember turning up to Goodison Park and doing a UEFA Cup game. That's how long ago it was. And talking to the guys in the TV truck, and they said, Stan, we can get this turned round in 30 seconds. Into the ear of the referee, it won't have a significant impact on the game. It has. We all go to games now, and fans kind of like mooted celebration when the ball's gone in the back of the net. Everybody looks over to the ref. Everybody looks over to that silly little box on the side of the pitch. And I think that we've got to the stage whereby that 30 seconds where we'd have all swallowed it and said, well, even if you make poor decisions, people in the VAR box, they're human beings. Anybody that thinks that 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 15 people in the VAR box are going to make less poor decisions than 2 or 3 or 1 on the pitch is nonsense, because they're human beings. But I think that when you start to get into messing with the inbuilt integrity of a sport, and that means the fans' spontaneity, the players' spontaneity, the referees' not thinking about the first phase of play 15, 20 seconds ago. They're watching everything. Is that I think that VAR has not only made the game a poorer watch, but I think that referees' tools have been blunted. I think players now are almost aghast at some of the decisions that are made. And the quicker that we can get rid of it, it doesn't take 5 minutes for FIFA, for IFAB, for UEFA, for the zonal organisations, for the Premier League to turn around and say, we gave it a really good go. And yes, in some countries, it works better than others. In some tournaments, it works better than others. But you know what? We're going to invest a shed load of money to have better referees, players that are coming out of the game that don't quite make it at Premier League level or EFL level. They can have an opportunity to be fast-tracked to be referees. We're going to make them younger, better, more switched on, and we're going to get our game back. Because at the moment, we're all watching and poring over decisions that are ludicrous, and that can only have a damaging and detrimental impact on our sport.
It's going to take a World Cup dropping TV figures for me, or European Championship. Also the handball rule. Let's just go back to
the worst.
It's the worst.
Well, it's like me. I was sat in the pub with my mate the other day, and we had a catch up. They're all Wolves fans, and I'm the only Villa fan. There's five of them, so they're all talking about how good or bad what Wolves are on any given week, and it's like, it's just ridiculous. It's like, first it's your elbow, and then it's up to the shirt, and then it's this constant changing which leads people. And you might have heard Neil Warnock's comments the other day, and they were barbed and they were deliberate. And I think that if that was a Pep Guardiola or a Jurgen Klopp that would have said them, it'd have been the front and back page of every newspaper. And that was, do referees understand the sport that they're refereeing? Is it time to get people that have an understanding what handball is and why it's called handball and where it should come from? And when you're watching it in real time, somebody with their arm sort of slightly to their body but sticking the left hand out and the body's leaning towards the ball, handball, as opposed to it being shot out of a cannon 2 yards away. And it can't be handball, really, because it's not deliberate. Likewise, using your arms for leverage. As a former striker, you have to jump with something. Yeah. You can't jump 3 foot in the air just by using your legs. So all of these things need to come into the basket. I think that we need to, whether it be radio, whether it be television, keep having honest debate about it. And I think that you've hit the nail on the head, really, Andy, is that when fans watch big competitions and tournaments and they don't like what they see, they tend to vote with their feet. And I'm sure FIFA, UEFA, zonal organisations in the Premier League are watching closely.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. But the trouble is, Stan, you make that point about the referees and whether they understand it. They have the laws they have to adhere to, and they're set by IFAB, and it's IFAB that
IFAB
ruined it
hopeless.
By tying the handball laws in knots. And all the refs can do, all the officials can do, is carry those out within,
It's same with offsides, bonkers. You know, just make it feet. That's it. Feet only. Forget it. If the feet are onside, you're onside.
Just a simplification of the whole process. Stripping it down, look at how complicated they've made so many of these laws and tied themselves in knots where they try and deal with one aspect of it they've got wrong by making another misstep.
The thing is, Paul, Andy, is that the old rules and laws were interpreted. You could have 10 referees on duty in the top flight in the old First Division. And this isn't sort of like granddad science going back to when the game was much better, because there have been huge improvements. But referees that had refereed at various steps during their career, so they had to come through the ranks. That's another massive problem. Referees are getting punted up divisions very, very quickly if they've had 2 or 3 good games. Why? Because we've got a massive dearth of referees. That goes all the way back to grassroots and abuse and not getting paid enough and facilities, et cetera, et cetera. That's a debate for another day. But in terms of referees, what they used to have was the ability to use their common sense and a little bit of leverage. Chelsea against Spurs, Villa against Birmingham, Liverpool against Everton, Manchester United against Manchester City. The referee would referee it because in the back of his mind is, this is a derby game. Maybe a game between two teams whereby it's going to be, they're both footballing sides and there isn't an iota of aggression between them, is that you can look at individuals and say, oh, well, that was a bit nasty because that was out of character. None of those things can be used anymore. And I think that when we did watch referees, we would go and we would come away from a game, whether you've commentated on it, played in it, watched it and said, he's got that wrong. But you know what? Over the course of the game, I didn't really notice him very much because, you know what? I was concentrating on the football. And I think that what we've started to do now because of VAR is that I believe that people will want to get into refereeing because you're equally as famous now as a player. When the reality is, the Champions League final between Chelsea and Manchester City a couple of 2 or 3 years ago now, the referee was amazing. Why? Because we barely said a word for the whole game. Two teams that were playing a derby game in Europe's biggest club competition went hammer and tongs at each other, and the game was fantastic. But we never spoke about the referee because he used his common sense, something that's sadly lacking.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, good afternoon. Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Clips of the week to come, Todd Macklin and lots more besides. But before all of that, a week of sport on TV.
Lovely.
Covered as always by the king of overnights, squad number 9, Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys. You all right?
Yes. Not too bad. You take on Nottingham Forest this weekend, don't you, West Ham?
We certainly do. I'm looking forward to a 0-0 draw. But
Did you note West Ham's double celebration last night? I don't think I've seen that before. Normally they go back to the halfway line, they celebrate the goal, then VAR takes a long look at it, and they're back on the halfway line, and they just kick off. But VAR gave it, and then West Ham went and celebrated
the full celebration.
The full celebration again. I've not seen that before.
Yeah, well, we don't score many goals, so really, you know, we're going to make the most of it.
Fair enough.
I mean, it wasn't a great match, but I think basically we were taunting the away fans.
Yeah, because they gave you a bit of stick in the first lane, didn't they?
James Ward-Prowse. I don't get Gareth's blind spot with him.
Yeah,
but there we go. That's another.
It is odd, isn't it? Yeah, there you go.
So, looking through interviews, Anthony Joshua was the first one. I'm yet to see this as well, Martin, so talk us through it.
Well, quite entertaining. I think the thing with Louis Theroux, it's a victory of style over substance, really. There's nothing, you're not going to learn very much, but he is an entertaining turn. I mean, it's the same, he does the same thing every time. Doesn't really, the thing about boxing is all about talking, isn't it? I mean, more than any other sport. You know, they talk up fights, etc., etc., and it's, is this going to fight? I mean, I heard you yesterday with Johnny Nelson. Very funny story about the cabbie, by the way, driving him in.
Yeah.
But yes, I heard you yesterday with Johnny Nelson. It's all about, is this fight going to take place? Is that fight going to take place? You know, we heard the Tyson Fury's back legs gone when he was against Ngannou, etc., etc. So the talk goes on and on. The style of Louis Theroux is to, I mean, he spends a lot of time just sort of sitting there, looking at his subject. You've got the two of them on chairs there, and AJ will say something, and then Louis Theroux will sort of stare at him, waiting for him to say something else. And he doesn't. We have the same. He doesn't actually get a great deal out of, despite the fact it's very entertaining to watch, and I would recommend you to watch it.
We've interviewed Anthony Joshua a couple of times, and you know, you hear him on the station. He's often got a lot to say. He's not someone you have to drag a conversation out of.
Absolutely not. No. You know, and we see him at. In fact, there's a little clip of him being interviewed by Gareth A. Davis at the. I think it was the Franklin. It was the Franklin fight. Just, you know, the build up to the Franklin fight.
Sure.
Louis Theroux says, it was my first experience of the jamboree of pre-publicity for a big boxing event. Mm. Well, I thought, you know, maybe he'd done a bit of research first. You know, it happens every boxing event. It's a jamboree, et cetera, et cetera. And the fight in some, you know, obviously the Franklin fight wasn't much of a, do you know what I mean? It wasn't a fight that everybody was anticipating. But yet the, you know, the boxing journos, if you like, were doing the full thing, and Eddie Hearn was plugging it as you would expect him to. Louis Theroux is sort of looking at this, which is entertaining. It's just a BBC One programme. It won't be particularly appealing to a in-the-know boxing audience. You know, it's a general audience it's appealing to. So he's sort of that thing of Louis Theroux being the innocent, you know, he doesn't realise what it's all about. You know, he's done all these American cults and, you know, he'll go off into the forest and saying, why exactly do you do this?
Yeah.
And then just look at them.
These are off the back, really, of the celebrity lockdown interviews he did, which were not like that, really. They were just conversations, which you probably heard, which were just, you know, audio things. So this is like kind of an extension of that, a bit of a reinvention of what he does. There's no more cults left to talk about again.
No, not really. I mean, Joshua comes over very well. You know, as you say, he's a great talker. He's not reluctant to talk about his career, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't want to talk about the fight against Luis Ríos. You know, everything else, he's quite happy to talk about.
Andy Ruiz, you mean?
Who did I say?
Louis Ríos, who I think is a bossa nova star.
Yes, he is. He's very good. I was channeling Alan Brazil.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been listening to Alan too long.
Let's have a chat now with Louis Ríos. Louis Marling.
Yeah, Andy Ruiz, that fight. Doesn't want to talk about that that much. But, you know, it's certainly interesting. They take take Joshua, as they do with these things, they take Joshua back to Watford, to his you know, to his roots and all that, and you hear from his family, and you know, where does AJ go from here? Is it big? I mean, I'm not a boxing expert myself, but I suppose
Wilder, the Wilder fight is the one they're all Wilder, talking about, which will be which will be exciting.
Yeah,
a big high profile fight like that for him would be good if they can get that happen. But boxing, politics, and all that. European football on TNT, Martin. You've been watching?
Yes, I just want. I watched most of the matches this week. Robbie Savage was the co-coms on the Manchester United match in Copenhagen.
Yes.
And he do you know why he says the football club? Well, you know it's football. And he says, if you bring in new players to the football club, they've got to be better than the players that are already at the football club, or at least as good as the players are at the football club. We know it's a football club.
But a lot of people might think it isn't.
Yeah.
Well, yes, there is that with Manchester United at the moment. But yeah, I thought having sort of monster Jermaine Jenas a wee bit last week, it's about time Robbie got his. but I do, you know, obviously CoComs is quite difficult to come up with something different or something new. I quite like Darren Fletcher working with Lucy Ward. I think they work quite well. I think they were doing the Arsenal match. There was a big debate about whether Declan should be used as number 6 or a number 8. I think you use him in Europe more as a number 8 and the Premier League more as a number 6.
He's dead to you though, Martin, now, isn't he? So you don't really care how they use
him. Do you
know
what?
I mean, he said that thing, it cuts you at the quick. When a player, your player goes, and he said the other day, we are Arsenal, we don't lose three games in a row. And I was thinking, if you're a West Ham fan, I know he's gone, but that feels quite final, doesn't it?
It does a wee bit, but I managed to get over that, I think.
Good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We smuggled wine into the lounge on the Farm Festival in Canterbury in children's fruit shoot plastic bottles, which worked well. However, after the festival, we emptied our cool bags and still had some bottles left. We put them on the side, home in a drunken state. The following week, my wife asked our 8-year-old son to get a fruit shoot bottle for his lunch. Despite it having been washed out, he did come home and say, Mum, I didn't like the flavour of my fruit shoot today. He got a bit of residue.
Oh,
That's bad. That's so bad. Yeah.
But the fight with the teacher.
Friends of mine who moved to Johannesburg many years ago, says Gabby, the Charlton fan, found the booze ban at cricket matches a step too far. He used to take as much out of a watermelon as possible and fill it up with vodka.
Oh, apparently, I've heard of that before.
So did many others. Thank you very much for that, Gabby. Anyway, Andy, have you got anything else you want to talk about?
I've got a letter from Peter Toole. He wrote
to
Durham.
Important. Yeah,
not O'Toole.
Yes,
he says, I'm fascinated by these people.
He's an O. He's an O from being really famous, isn't
he? He is.
Peter Toole.
Yeah.
Okay.
If the BBC have sacked Carol Vorderman for being outspoken towards the government, then surely Mr. Gary Lineker has to go as well.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this. He's the bête noire of the tabloid writers people who write things. Does this place sit at home with a Lineker dartboard just throwing things out?
I didn't know you could buy those.
I've got one, actually, but I only use the soft tips.
I think Tom in Kettering may be a Chelsea fan. If you were listening earlier on, Andy went to war with a TalkSport. He's always very welcoming to the listeners. Ed, the Leeds fan, made the massive mistake of saying he hates Chelsea. But he's a Leeds fan. There is an enmity between
you
both.
You know, he could have had respect. I wouldn't have said to him, I hate Leeds, to his face.
No, okay.
It was disrespectful.
He's big on disrespect.
I am.
Being ex-mafia, Andy. You should have asked Ed, the Leeds fan, if he was working for VAR, given the length of time he took to give 3 scores. Oh, hiya. Tom, they're turning on it. You see, you've made them turn on each other now, the listeners.
That's not good, is it?
Being a year 6 teacher, key stage 2 SATs results day, always a bit nervy. One year when we got our best results, myself and the deputy head celebrated in the staff room with a beer, then used a coffee flask when heading back to class to finish off the drink before continuing at the end of the day. Blimey. I suppose if you do it with the head's good grace, you can probably get away with it.
Probably.
I like this one, Mark from the Borough. As a young 18-year-old, I tried to smuggle a miniature bottle of whiskey hidden down my underpants into the Hawthorns to watch my beloved Baggies.
Oh, yeah.
Just before entering the ground, it rolled down my trouser leg into the feet of a policeman.
Oh, no.
Oh, beautiful. Mark, thank you very much for all of those this afternoon. A member of our running team, running club, loves ultramarathons and often sneaks in a hip flask. says Dan from the Blackburn Road Runners. We also asked you for French cricketers, Andy, didn't we, today?
We did.
And we're just one of the best ones we didn't get round to was John, who said Glenn Foie Gras, as in Glenn McGrath.
Oh, that's clever.
It does take some doing. We had Citroni Arani, says Jakey in... this is because there was a story about the world of French cricket. Moeen, the Moeen Elisa. That's quite good. You like
that
one, Andy?
Yeah, I do like
that, wasn't too bad. And I think we've exhausted them. Rodney Marsh says, Jeffrey Boy Cote d'Azur. And that, I believe, is where we will leave it.
Can I wish Anthony Taylor all the best for the match on Sunday?
Yeah, try and get him on side.
What a marvellous appointment that's been, hasn't it?
He's had some difficult times at Chelsea in the past.
He's had some difficult times in the Championship last week. So why not give him the most high-profile game of the weekend?
Yeah.
I mean, probably going to be OK, because I'm not sure we'll get too near them. Really, but even so, you know, he's putting him on offer, I think.
You're going to the game, are you?
I am, yeah. Travelling in hope rather than expectation, but who knows?
Well, enjoy it. Indeed, if you're going to a game this weekend, TalkSport listeners, enjoy. Our guests next week include the great Des Lynam.
Oh, wow. Tremendous.
And Bruce Jones, a.k.a. Les Battersby from Corrie, who has become a wrestler.
Lovely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll reconvene on Monday, as always, with Danny Kelly, pour over the weekend's football. All the business gets done. No Monday night football this week because it's international week.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Isn't it? So we'll have 10 games to look at with Danny and Andy Brussel around Europe before the international
break.
You
won't be getting a rant from me if Chelsea lose.
No, I mean, you don't expect to beat City. Anything's a bonus against City, isn't it, really? So, do hope you can join us then. Until then, have a great weekend. If you can't, the podcast, as always, will be available at around 4 o'clock. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.